Dr. Gloria Sorensen, who is the Center Director of the Harvard School of Public Health Center for Work Health and Well-Being. She's also a professor of social and behavioral sciences at the Harvard School of Public Health. Gloria?
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Delighted to be here today. We are required to note if we have any conflict of interest. I have none, so noted. So just to give you a quick overview, we are all delighted to be here as representing the four Centers for Excellence that are part of the Total Worker Health Initiative. NIOSH established the Total Worker Health Initiative several years ago. They've defined it as a strategy integrating occupational health and occupational safety and health protection with health promotion aimed at really preventing worker illness and injury as well as advancing health and well-being. We are delighted to be a part of this initiative that is really bringing together two disciplines, occupational health and safety, along with worksite health promotion, and the range of skills and expertise that those different approaches to worker health bring together. We will each be presenting something from our centers, and I would like to focus particularly on some of the work that we're doing in our center, which has three different projects co-led by Dr. Jack Dennerlein, who's an ergonomist. He's not able to be here today, but we basically have three studies within our center focused in the healthcare sector, in construction, and in manufacturing, and focusing there on really trying to disseminate integrated efforts around occupational health and safety and health promotion. What I'd like to talk about today is particularly what we mean by an integrated approach to worker health and how we might actually measure it, either in terms of our research methods as well as performance indicators. There's a piece of tape underneath here that I'm sticking to. I feel I'm not going to go anywhere. Anyways, what we mean by an integrated intervention is what we've listed here, a strategic and operational coordination of programs, policies, and practices designed to simultaneously prevent worker injuries and illnesses and also enhance overall workforce health and well-being. And as we've struggled with what we mean by this definition, we really see this as on a continuum. So it's not like an either-or, either the program or the approach that a particular work site might be taking is integrated or not, but rather that there might be degrees of integration that may start from maybe having no programs at all to having separate programs in occupational safety and health promotion, to gradually seeing those integrated toward a coordination of these policies, programs, and practices with the understanding that really when we look at health promotion and health protection, we're looking at common issues with the common goal of worker health outcomes. As we were struggling with this within our center, we kind of got stuck across our projects on the question, how do we actually know it when we see it? What are the indicators that will tell us that we actually have an integrated program? If it is on a continuum, sort of where, how do we know what places a particular employer on a particular area within that continuum? So we started to struggle with that a little bit. We did some reviews of the literature. We used a Delphi technique where we really tried to get input from our investigators as well as our different advisory boards. We have an external advisory board of scholars and scientists from across disciplines that really helped us wrestle with this. We also have a worksite advisory board that represents a range of employers, and we presented some of these issues with them. We reviewed some of the existing strategies in the field, and we are now, we've tested this out, and we're continuing to do further testing, but we'd like to share with you some of the strategies that we've taken. I should note that from this, we built very heavily on NIOSH's essential elements list. This was an effort that NIOSH engaged in several years ago, where they brought together a panel of experts to say, if we were actually going to integrate health and safety programs, what would be some of the strategies that we might recommend to employers to do this? And they came up with some core essential components that fell within these four areas: organizational culture and leadership, program design, program implementation and resources, and program evaluation. As we looked at this, we thought this is a really good starting point, but we're not really sure that we can measure all of these strategies, and we would like to have a strategy that kind of moved us the next step forward, that actually gave us something that we could measure and assess within a company. So we came up with these indicators, which I'd like to just walk through briefly. First of all, organizational leadership and commitment, and by that we meant that there needs to be a sense within the organization that there's a strong, well-articulated vision and shared mission around occupational health and safety, as well as worksite health promotion, a value of employee health, of worker health, that's embedded into the mission of the organization. Part of that is a communication of the need for the coordination across worksite health promotion and occupational safety and health. That is, that the policies and programs and practices take advantage of linkages between one another. They may be built on a number of different supportive policies and practices, including shared accountability and training. That is, the people who are responsible for those efforts are held accountable, perhaps through training, also through performance indicators or metrics that might even be built into job descriptions and annual reviews. It's also something that builds off of existing strategies for engaging both management and employees. And this might mean that there is a starting point with an occupational safety and health committee that might bring into that worksite health promotion, or maybe the other way around, a wellness strategy that really takes on or begins to work with efforts in the company around occupational health and safety. But that sense of participation of the workforce is absolutely pivotal within this. We also see that benefits and incentives may support worker health outcomes, recognizing that there needs to be attention given to the fact that it's not only at the worker level, but also at the manager level. So not the sense that these are incentive programs that would pose barriers for sort of over-reporting of or under-reporting of injuries that might result from incentives, but rather a sense that the global understanding of occupational health and safety and health promotion is linked to those benefit and incentive structures. And then finally, within this overall supportive structure, we see a real need for integration of evaluation and surveillance strategies that allow some feedback loops along the way. And then finally, we've thought that obviously these are some of the more policy strategies that we might think of, but when we get down to program content, we also see a real need for linkages across the program content. So, for example, a tobacco control program might actually incorporate messages around the importance of occupational safety and health and the potential points of synergy and interaction of tobacco use as well as occupational exposures. So these are the indicators that we came up with. So our next step was really to try to develop some performance metrics around those, to actually develop an assessment tool for researchers and employers that would allow some comparable research across different settings to understand what the extent to which this integrated approach is actually used, providing thereby some benefits or benchmarks for comparison, but also something that could be used as a self-assessment tool, so that if we were working with a particular employer, we might actually use this kind of a tool to help guide the employer on ways that they might improve the integrated approaches within their company. So just to give you a couple of strategies, we've come up with a tool that has about 15 different items within it, and each of those items linked to a particular one of the constructs that we, so taking these constructs here, we've identified indicator points under each of those. And so I just want to give you a few examples. So along the area of organizational leadership and commitment, we've really identified ways that top management might actually express this commitment to a culture of health, and also obviously provide resources to back that commitment. I should say this: we will be publishing these the actual indicators in an upcoming supplement through JOEM. This paper is in that, so the University of Iowa has been taking the lead on that. I'm sure Jim will talk a little bit more about that, but you don't need to take too close notes here. This is coming out shortly. We also look at coordination between occupational safety and health and worksite health promotion in a couple of different ways. So looking, for example, at decision-making that might be coordinated across departments, or the way that policies might be linked across those different areas. If we, just to give a couple of examples on the employee engagement strategies, we see ways that managers and employees might be engaged in decision-making about priority setting for these types of programs and policies, or that joint committees might be brought to bear, as I mentioned previously. So that gives you a few examples of at least three of the areas, and that's the strategy that we've taken in pulling this together. We have also within our center tried to think about how we might actually implement this, and we have developed under Deborah's leadership the SafeWell Integrated Practice Guidelines that are really designed to provide a tool to help employers develop and implement integrated and coordinated efforts. I've listed the website here, but just to give you a little bit of an idea of what's in it, it includes providing the business case behind this, how we might actually engage management in terms of providing leadership and commitment, the plan for putting the program plan together, implementing it, and then obviously evaluating it and allowing time for continual ongoing assessment and continual improvement. As next steps, we are continuing to test the indicators in a wide array of settings, and particularly we are using them right now in our project in the SafeWell project, where we are disseminating these efforts. And so we have been doing a survey of small to medium-sized manufacturing businesses that actually use this tool. That is ongoing, and we're looking forward to seeing how that comes out. We are trying to look at the application of these strategies across a range of different settings, and really looking as well at barriers and facilitators to both uptake as well as how to really make these strategies increasingly usable and accessible to employers. I'd like to recognize our team members in this process, and I think I have a couple of moments if anybody has any questions or comments. Nancy.
Just a quick question. You talked about the Worksite Advisory Committee of employers. Do you have an equal number of unions, worker centers, and others to balance out the employer?
Yeah, I apologize. I didn't give you the full view on that. We actually have union representation on that advisory committee to include union representation. It is not an equal number.
Why is that?
That's a good point. I think that we try to do that in several ways. First of all, I think one of the ways that we really try to engage unions is not only in our advisory committee, but also in the context of our specific studies that we're doing. So, for example, in our healthcare study, we are working with, we have contacts with the Nursing Association. We're certainly, you know, in the construction setting, it's a little bit more difficult because we have a lot of different unions. We started our construction work as a close collaboration with the Laborers International Union of North America through their Health and Safety Fund. And one of the things that we learned, and that was in the first iteration of our work, it was actually a joint collaboration with a subcontract to them. And one of the things that we learned in that process was that it was, as we went on to the construction sites, working only with one trade was a real challenge. It didn't really work that well. So we decided in this time to work with all workers on the site rather than just focus on one trade. But you raise a very important point that I think is absolutely critical as we're looking at total worker health, is that labor absolutely needs to be at the table, needs to have a voice in this process, and that what they bring is really important to the process. So thank you for that comment. I appreciate it.
I have a few other concerns, but I'm going to wait until Deborah said
great. Thank you. Other comments? Great. Deborah? Oh, wait a minute. One other hand. We have
Green. Total worker health as effective in small organizations as it is in larger?
That's a really good question. So the question was, is total worker health as effective in small organizations as it is in larger organizations? I don't think we yet have the full data to be able to answer that question fully, empirically. And I think one of the things that you're raising is that the resource structures may look a little different for larger employers than they do for smaller employers. And I think it means that we've got to take some somewhat different strategies. And Deborah, do you want to particularly comment on that since Project C is looking at that? Would that be appropriate?
Sure. I'll come up here and
transition
to the next speaker. Yeah, and I think some of the other speakers here will probably address this issue as well. I mean, I think that there are opportunities with small to medium-sized businesses as well as challenges. Some of the challenges might be the lack of resources, but some of the opportunities are, at least we've found in some of our work, is that people, if there's somebody, you know, kind of a champion within the organization who really wants to, you know, make total worker health a mission of their organization, sometimes they have less bureaucracy and they can institute it more easily than a more complex bureaucratic organization. So, but I agree. I think I look forward to other people talking a little bit about it too. And to come, I know total worker health is looking at this issue too. There are other folks around the country looking at it.